Now to Atchison, Kansas, a small town in the Missouri River, about 50 miles north of Kansas City, which is known for several things. It's a gateway to the West, the birthplace of Amelia Earhart, and home of Benedictine College, which offers a liberal arts education. But on a hill at the top of campus, overlooking the river, is an abbey. And in that abbey, Benedictine monks continue to live much the same way they did centuries ago. Laura Ziegler from member station KCUR spent some time there to learn how they do it.
Ate clamamus, exules filii ebe.
Benedictine College was established in the mid-19th century to provide a Catholic education to the children of pioneers and to celebrate Mass with European settlers. 40 monks live here today at the college, pretty much the same way Benedictines have lived since the 6th century, when St. Benedict of Nursia established the order in Italy. My day begins in the Abbey Cemetery, surrounded by aging evergreens. My guide is archivist Father Dennis Mead.
Over here we have in our cemetery about 200 of our deceased monks here. In this semicircle here are our abbots. When they were born, when they made their profession, when they made their first vows, when they made priestly ordination if they were a priest, and then when they died.
Father Dennis is 87, his only sign of age, a slight stoop in his shoulder. He's been with the Abbey for 66 years, gone only to do missionary work in Brazil and to study in Rome. That's where he was when Pope John XXIII was elected in 1958.
The popes had a rather reserved. They didn't go out in the city of Rome much. But then he decided to change that tradition. So I was walking down in this narrow street, and I see two motorcycles coming along, putt, 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 putt. And then there was a car behind them, and they said, oh, I wonder who that is. So it was the Pope. He waved.
At the regular 5 p.m. Mass, students stream into the church to join the monks and to receive the Holy Eucharist.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was.
Monks with the Order of St. Benedict live by the Rule of St. Benedict, a 6th-century booklet that lays out exhaustive parameters for Benedictine life and the schedule of prayers.
Alleluia.
These monks don't take a vow of silence, but there are strict times when they can talk and when they can't. They can converse at lunch, but not during breakfast or dinner. After dinner, it's Vespers, where, again, Father Dennis is my guide and tutor.
It's this book, and it's number 40.
Number 40.
Yeah, we have a little introduction, which is sung, and then we sing this, and then we go to this book.
Thank you.
The eyes of all creatures look to you, and you give them their food in due time.
After Vespers, Father Dennis escorts me down the dimly lit, echoing hall where the monks live. The only sound is the thump, thump of an elderly father's walker. Most of these men are old, and while their numbers have dwindled to 40 or so, about a third of the order's size here 5 years ago, there's recently been an uptick in younger men seeking monastic life. Father Jay Kyth, a chaplain at Benedictine College, thinks he knows why.
I always like to say that I was a child in the 80s. We were the me generation, very selfish. This generation is also the me generation with a lot of despair. And so there's a sense of apathy, there's a sense of lack of motivation, and they know that about themselves. They know that, and they don't quite know what to do about it.
What the monks call the night silence begins with the 8 p.m. bell. The monastery goes quiet. At 6 a.m., there are morning prayers, then breakfast. The food is simple: cold cereal, scrambled eggs, toast, and coffee or tea. After breakfast, the monks fan out into the community. They teach at the college and the parish schools. They minister in hospitals and prisons. Others take care of chores that keep the abbey up and running.
What do you want from Walmart here?
That's Father Ralph Kohler. He's a wisecracking 87-year-old and a former abbot or head of the Atchison Abbey.
one that's writing a story. She wants to write a story about you.
I know she's writing a story about her. We love it when he comes in to shop because he always entertains us. Of course, if I'm on a ladder, he asks me if I get a raise. And
you got to climb way up to the top of it at the shop.
And this guy, I don't know what you'd do without him.
This guy is Brother Tim McMillan. He's a 28-year-old redhead with a full red beard. Every Tuesday, he takes Father Kohler along for the outing to Walmart. Brother Tim scours the shelves for grape nuts, batteries, and deodorant, while Father Ralph pushes the cart, stopping to engage workers.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
What are you wiping down?
Nothing. I'm working on freight.
Are you? What kind of freight?
Home goods.
That's very good.
Driving back from errands, I ask Brother Tim about this monastic life, especially for young men like himself.
There are many, you know, different ways to live your life. Ultimately, I have to realize that, you know, I can't, it's impossible and impractical to, you know, chase every desire because you're going to end up with nothing.
As I went to say goodbye to the monks later that morning, I found Brother Levin Harton playing chess with a fellow Benedictine grad. Father Matthew Habiger was reading the Wall Street Journal. Father Roderick Giller explained to me that Abbey life provides something essential.
I'm 82 years old. I don't have to worry about cooking my own food. We got a medical staff on duty 24/7. You know, I know when I die, I'll be buried in the Abbey cemetery. I am thankful that I don't have to worry about all those things.
Father Roderick says without these worldly concerns, he's free to practice his vows, stability, obedience, and conversatio morum, or conversion to the customs of monastic life. And with this, he says he can focus on his departure from this earth. For Here and Now, I'm Laura Ziegler.
Ate suspiramus.